Joshua chapter number 14, verse number 6 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 45 years old was I," this is Caleb speaking, "when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me have made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 45 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with thee, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you so much for this Thanksgiving time. I pray we'd use it as a time to be able to give thanks to you, Lord. But I pray that we wouldn't just use this time only every year to give thanks, but to use it as a reminder that throughout the year, we need to be thankful for the things that you're doing for us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to preach a message called Conquering Mountains God's Way. And Caleb been through a lot in his life. And at this point in his life, he's 45 years old. He's an old man, as I would like to consider it, an old man. And I'm 30, and 40 just seems like a long ways away. I keep thinking that, at least. Hopefully, it's down the road, a ways. I'm looking down the road. And how many in this room would say, I'm 40 years old? I'm in the 40 category right there. Anybody? Nobody's 40? Oh, we got some. All right, ladies, you don't have to raise your hand. I know Brother Nathan, he's in his 30s, I think, still, right? He just looks, because of his white hair, he looks like he's in his 40s. But he's getting old in age. He's 45 years old. He's not the man that he was back through all of the things that he went through when he was younger. Remember, Caleb was a young man. I'm guessing he was a child when they escaped out of Israel. And when they escaped his parents and they escaped out of Israel, he had probably had no clue what was going on. And it was a fearful time. They were running for their lives. And you remember they got to the Red Sea and panic set in the air. Parents were frustrated, trying to wonder what's going on. Moses, why'd you do this to us? And Caleb's seeing all this as a young kid. But then he sees God do something that he's never seen in his short life. And God parts the Red Sea for them. And they walk across on dry ground. And Pharaoh and his army comes through. And boom, the water takes him out. First miracle that he's seen. He's just jaw dropped as a kid. I imagine if the kids in this room got to see something like that, they would never forget it. Never forget it. So Caleb comes across, then later on in life, Caleb starts to experience thirsty, and they're hungry with his parents, and their parents start complaining again to Moses. One thing about the Israelites is they don't give thanks. They are constantly complaining, and I challenge you as a church member, man, don't complain to your pastor about everything. It just wears them. You may think you're the only one complaining. I guarantee you there's more than just one complaining all the time. Don't be a complainer. But the people of Israel, man, they just constantly found a way to complain to Moses. Time after time, they come to him. They're saying, Moses, we need food. What is going on? We need something to eat. Manna comes from heaven. Food coming from the sky. At this point, you got to think, man, are you seriously are still complaining? You don't think that God's on our side yet? He's already done the past miracle. Now he's brought food from the sky for us. That's the first. Then now they're thirsty and they're complaining, wanting water. And Caleb, remember, as a young man, seeing all this stuff happen. And then you remember Moses smites the rock and water comes out of the rock for all the people and they're no longer thirsty. And he's seeing all this happen little by little. Then he gets older, remember, and he becomes a spy that Moses wants to send out. And he comes back with Joshua. I imagine they must have been the best of friends, man. They've seen God do some great miracles and they've seen what he already did. And when they went there to that land in Canaan and saw, they go, man, this is crazy. This is big. Oh, but hold on, I forgot. We serve a big God and God can take care of this. Man, they got fired up, went back. They tell their report and they say, man, God could do this. He already did those things back there. This is nothing for him. But then 10 others discouraged the people. complains, ah, there's just no way. You know, we didn't stay where we're at. We can't go forward. This is impossible. We can't do it. And they discouraged the people, as Caleb pointed out here in the scripture. And God later on, you know, took care of things with those Israelites and put Joshua in charge. And then they conquered Jericho. You remember all those battles that they went through, man, that God just time after time after time taking down these mountains in their life that seemed impossible to take care of on their own. Remember, they weren't just some gigantic army of people that were just had all the weapons in the world. Remember, they fled. They had nothing. Everything that was given to them was because of God. And the only way they won any battles was because they were God's people. My question, what are your mountains tonight that you're facing? Every single one of you have some type of mountain in your life that you're up against. Whether it's small or big, we've got a mountain. Is your mountain unemployment, debt, disease, depression, danger, abandonment, abuse, tragedies, bills, weaknesses, rejection, broken relationships, inability, addiction, habits, temptations, fear, past failures, discouragement, anger, trials? What is it that is your mountain? I want to ask you to think about that tonight. As we look into this and find out, what did Caleb do to conquer his mountain? This was later on in life after he's been through everything. Many of you in this room are older than the young children in this room. You've seen God do some big things in your life. You've seen God do some big things in this church. You've seen a lot of things happen. And you're older now, you're in your life, and you're facing another mountain. How are you handling it tonight? Let's find out how Caleb handled it. Four ways I think that Caleb handled. Number one, his confidence never forfeited. His confidence never forfeited. Verse number 10 says, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am with this day 85 years. He's been through a lot. He's seen God do some great things, but now he's got a mountain to conquer himself. He's got something huge, massive to conquer. I mean, it's big. And he's not the young man, the soldier that he was when he was younger. And he knows that. But he knows that he can't do this on his own. He knows that if he doesn't have confidence in God, it's not happening. He is not claiming this mountain. He is not conquering this mountain. It's just not going to happen. I remember when I was in high school. Anybody like basketball in here tonight? Anybody like basketball? I love playing basketball. I don't play it hardly ever anymore. Every time I do, I get hurt. So I tell my wife, all right, I won't play anymore. Unless I just go out there and play horse with someone. I just don't get out there anymore and play. And I had knee surgeries and stuff. Man, I feel like an old man when I get out there now. But when I was in high school, man, we loved to play. We'd travel all over the country for tournaments. And we were getting better and better and better. And finally, my senior year was just the year. It was me and another senior. My brother was a junior. Our whole team was seniors and juniors. We've been playing for a long time with the same coach. And man, we were ready to go. We wanted to win every tournament we went to. We felt like we could win. We practiced all summer long. We ran. We only had 5 guys on our team. We did not have one guy on the bench. Well, sorry. We had one kid on the bench who was like in fifth grade, but he was just there as a cheerleader the whole time. If he had to come into the game, we were in trouble for sure. If we were playing, it's a good team. But it was 5 guys. Us 5 guys, man, we practiced all year long. Not one of us was a weak link in the team. Man, we just were ready to go. We practiced all year long, all summer long. We were running. The only way that we could keep up with these teams, man, these big schools that had, you know, 600-700 kids in their school. I mean, they had 15 guys on the basketball team that could start. All 15 of them could start on most of the other teams. And man, they'd do 5 in, 5 out, 5 in, 5 out. Well, we had 5 in the whole time, never taking a break. And so what we had to do, and our coach ran us like we were a horse into the ground all summer long. We didn't even touch a basketball practice. Not one time. All we did was run and run and this exercise and this thing to do. And it was one thing. Finally, coach, it's getting close to the start of season. We need to touch a basketball. He's like, I ain't worried about your skill. I'm worried about whether or not you can stay on the floor with these guys. Because they're going to be subbing in the whole time. And so we practiced. Well, finally, man, we were ready to go. We touched a basketball. Finally, we went to a tournament, first tournament of the year. Hadn't even played a game yet. And it was the first tournament to start off the year. And our arch rival, the one team we had never beat. We had come close a few times, but man, they beat everybody. And their name was Pacific Baptist Soldiers. And man, just, they were disciplined. These boys been playing some of the together since they were 3 years old, all the way through. I mean, they just, all this church does, all the school does, they play basketball year round. I mean, it's unbelievable. They don't have any other sports in their school, and they're a big school. And man, their coach was a fanatic. And anybody ever heard of Johnny Esposito before? Anybody ever heard of him? All right. Man, his eyes he would be out there, what are you doing? Just the whole time yelling at his team. And I was on the other team and I was scared for his players when he played against them. But man, were they disciplined. And man, we were slowly getting disciplined because when our coach first took over for us, we also all played for fun. We never played on an actual organized team. And so that's why we struggled against them. They had all these traps against us. We went up against them there and we're going to this tournament. We know they're going to be there. And we get the call about 3 days before the tournament, the schedule. First game of the tournament, 9 a.m., we're playing against Pacific Baptist Church. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We've considered ourselves one of the best teams, and we've considered them the best team. And we were getting discouraged. Like, first game, I hated playing in the morning, and first game of the tournament, we're playing against them. And our coach says, hey, don't worry. We practice all summer long. He's getting us all, we got this thing. We're not gonna back down to them. We're going to win it first game. We're going to shock the world the first game of the tournament. I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe if it was later on in the tournament when we get warmed up. We haven't even played a single game this year. And they'd already played all summer long. Man, they're warmed up. They're ready to go. And we get to the tournament, and these guys are not intimidating, okay? Every single player on their team, shorter than I am. We had two guys on our team that were 6'3", but they were just so stinking good. They were unbelievably good at boxing out. I mean, just everything was good. And we go to the tournament, first game of the tournament, end of the first quarter, 9-0. We're down 9-0. We didn't score a bucket. End of halftime, we're down 24-0 against this team. And we're just looking at the coach in our eyes, looking at each other like, we told coach this. We knew this was going to happen, Like, at this point, let's just settle for second place in this tournament, We thought we could do it this year, but it just couldn't happen. And we're halftime zone. Our coach, man, he is not the type of coach, good job, guys, it was great. He's not that kind of coach, right? He just wouldn't work in soccer. He just wouldn't happen. He took us outside. We're supposed to go into the locker room with the other team goes to the locker room. We're supposed to go in the locker room. He says, get outside. And I'm like, well, can we go to the locker room? No, get outside. I'm like, okay. So we're all like walking outside. He's just, get out there now. Get out there. We're like walking outside. We finally get outside. Y'all are embarrassing me out there. Man, I was getting mad. Now I'm getting all ticked off. You haven't done a thing that I said to do. Not one thing that we practiced. We're like thinking to ourselves, coach, you never let me touch a basketball the whole time. We're not tired right now, but we don't know how to make a layup. We don't know how to make a shot because we never touched a basketball. And he's just like, you didn't do one thing that I told you to do. He is just yelling at us. My blood is boiling. And it takes a lot to get me upset. I'm very easygoing. And man, I'm getting ticked off because we're out there playing, coach. You're not the one playing, all right? We're embarrassing you. We're embarrassed out there. And we're playing his number one team down 24-0 at halftime. He said, look at me. We had a plan. And you're not listening to anything I said. Now remember, I told you this was something that was impossible to do. But I told you there was a way. And we worked on that way. And when we got in the game, we threw that way, our plan to the side. And you all did your own thing. That's what happened. So we haven't even used the plan yet. He said, get back in the game and do the plan that I told you to do. And when I'm telling you stuff on the sidelines, look at me and say, yes, coach, I'll do that. He's like, stop embarrassing me. If you embarrass me one more time, I'm walking out of the gym. I'm quitting as your coach. Man, I was heated, but I was ready to win now. Now he got me going, and I was ticked. I was ready to prove him wrong. Like, we're winning this game, right? And it's not going to be because of you. That's my mentality. We're winning because of us, all right? When we go back into that game, we started listening to him. We started doing what he told us to do. We started systematically coming back, getting our defense back, and we started calming down because, man, we were just nervous, and slowly, little by little, by little, by little, we came back. And by the time we get to the end of the game, we were down by 2 points with 5 seconds left. And I had stolen the ball. We called timeout, 5 seconds left. We get the ball to inbound and coach calls timeout, draws up a play. We had a play where I would run the baseline. I was a 3-point shooter and I was supposed to go to the corner. A bunch of guys said and pitched me so I'd get an open shot. It was kind of like our secret play that we'd only run if we needed it. And I found out later from going to college with all these guys on the other team that their coach said, do not let AJ touch the ball. I don't care if you have to quadruple team him. You do whatever. Don't let him touch the ball. Well, I found that out in the game because I'm running, getting picks, and the whole team is swarming me. I mean, I'm walking into the corner. It's just guys everywhere. And our point guard's coming up the court, and he looks over to pass me the ball, and he sees everybody. And I look across the court, and I see my brothers wide open at the three-point. I'm like, pointing across the court, throws the ball over to him. And then by that time, he had like 1 second, just chucked it up, boom, hit the shot. We won the game. And man, we went crazy. We thought we won the tournament. Everyone was blown away because the number one team just got beat in the very first game of the tournament. And we coach brought us in that locker room and he said, I told you we can beat them. But you didn't listen. You all want to do your own thing. You want to do your own plan. But he said, if you want to win, if you want to conquer things that seem impossible, you have to stick with the plan and you got to do it the right way. Tonight, I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life. God has a way that is better than your way. Sometimes we think we can do it on our own. Sometimes we think we have a better plan because, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've lived a long enough life and I've been through something similar like this. I can handle this one. And we forget about God. We lose our confidence in him and it's forfeited. Number two tonight, his strength never failed. His strength never failed. I remember going with Pastor to Montana to go hunting. And man, he told me to get all ready to go. He said, get yourself exercised. There's going to be a bunch of hunt. There's going to be hiking like crazy. He's like, get yourself in shape. I looked at all the guys that were going with us. And I said, man, they're all older than me. I'm younger. And I'm like, I'm in good shape. I can handle this. I don't need to do a ton of exercise. And I underestimated the trip. I mean, man, it was unbelievable. I got there the first morning. I hardly exercised. And I got there and I went with the pastor all the way up the first mountain. And he was teaching me all along the way. He was teaching me how to, you know, we'd go up about 45 seconds and then he would stop. We'd take a breather for about 30. Remember, high elevation. We'd take a break for about 30, 45 seconds. We'd go up another minute or two and then we'd take a break for another 30, 45 seconds. And I'm just like, you know, this is not that hard. You know, we can keep going, you know. Why do we have to keep taking these breaks? And I'm thinking to myself, well, we're just taking breaks because he's older. He was 72. Yeah, Pastor Erickson. Yeah, I think he was like 72 years old. So I'm thinking the only reason why we're doing this slow is because he's older. And I'm feeling really good. So the first morning I'm going with Pastor Dirksen and we're getting up. I'm getting a little tired, but I just felt like I could do it faster, of course, being younger, thinking I can do this. So after the first morning hunting, man, next time it was, all right, you're on your own. You got this. And so, man, I did my own thing. And I'm going up, man, I didn't even get a quarter of the way up. And I'm just bent over, just dying up there. And all of a sudden it clicked. I need to listen to Pastor Dirksen. What was he saying? And all those things he was telling me about taking breaks and doing this. You got to breathe like this. You got to plant your feet when you're climbing up the mountain. You got to do. I was like, okay, hold on. Let's get a breather here. Let's take a long breather here. And remember everything that that man told me to do. And I was thankful for that. But I, you know, sometimes in life, you just think that you know the way. You think that you know what you're doing. You think that you, in your own strength, Caleb was not depending upon his own strength. When he talked about the things that he did in the past, he was talking about the things that God did through him. His strength in God, his faith, his strength in the faith that God was going to be able to conquer great things for him. He reminded himself, he reminded those around him of what God did for him in the past. I need a few people to come help me tonight. Where's Brother Nathan? Brother Nathan in here? Brother Nathan? Come on up, brother. I need you. Come on up. I need you up here. Brother Josh, can you come up? And then where are the team boys I asked earlier? Why don't you guys come up? All right, all the team boys that I asked earlier, you guys come on up. Brother Josh, you stand over here. We have two more. Was there one more? One more? Daniel? Oh, there he is. Yeah, there he is. Come on up. I need you. You're important in this one. All right. Brother Nathan, you stand up. Come on, guys. You come over here. So Brother Josh is going to represent God, of course, right? He's going to represent God over there. These four guys right here are going to represent mountains, all right? You guys come over here. And of course, Brother Nathan's going to represent Satan, all right? He's going to represent Satan. I couldn't pick anybody better. All right, you come over here. All right, little guy, you go in the back over there, okay? You go in the back. This is kind of like what our life is like, okay? We have God over here. We have the mountains right here that God has planned for us in our life. Mountains that he's already prepared for us, that he's wanting us to conquer in our life. And you know who's on those mountains? Satan. Satan does not want you to get on top of that mountain and conquer. He doesn't want it to. He's going to do everything he can to trip you up, to quit, to retreat, and to go back down the mountain. He's going to do everything. He's going to try to get you to not even try to climb the mountain, to walk away from it. And God is here saying, I will help you. I will never leave you. I will be here to help you if you'll let me. If you'll let me. The Israelites struggled with that, right? They struggled with that. Every time they got to something that was tough, they didn't think like Caleb did. Like, God's got this. God's going to do this. He's going to conquer this mountain for us. He'll take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. He's there for us. He's got to take care of it. I don't know about you, but the way I want to handle it is, man, I would rather have a corn farmer, you know, defending me than a turkey farmer any day. I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding. I was just talking about him, right? But you got God here in front of you. But a lot of times we want to stand right here and act like we're the ones doing it. You know, sometimes when we conquer things with God and God does great victories for us, it's kind of like that the elephant that crossed the bridge and the ant was on top of him and they got across and that bridge was shaking. He said, man, did we shake that bridge or what? That's kind of how we are sometimes. When God does something great, we kind of want to look at ourselves and kind of gloat about the good things that we did, but it had nothing to do with us. Had nothing to do with us. God had everything. I don't know about you, but this is how I want to handle it. If I see mountains in my way and God's got something that he's planned for me, God's put those mountains there for a reason. He's put them there for a reason in my life. I don't know what those reasons are, but he's put them there. And he's told me to trust him when I get to those mountains. I don't know about you, but when I'm coming up in those mountains, and I know Satan's there too, and I know Satan's trying to defeat me, I'm going to stand right here behind him. I'm going to say, let's go, God. Let's take care of this man. Come on, bring it on. Come on now. What are you going to do? And sometimes God will, yeah, there we go. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. You got him, take him on the ground. These guys. And I thought I brought acting like teenagers up here. But sometimes God will give us a mountain that looks like it's conquerable by myself, where I can depend upon my own strength. And I'm looking at that mountain, come back here, God, you come back here, right? And I look at that mountain and I think I can do it, but I remember my preacher preaching to me and teaching me how to get through this. And I let God help me conquer this mountain. And I grow as a Christian. That mountain's out of the way now. And God, a lot of times, will give you a bigger mountain because you've gained confidence now. And God is going to allow you to do something bigger for him. And he places another mountain in front of you and you conquer that mountain and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. But guess what? We serve a big God. None of these mountains are too big for him. And you conquer that one. And then sometimes we get a small mountain like this one right here. And this is where we're back here. Man, we're God. God's doing great. And we look up. Oh, I got this one. I don't need you. And we kind of reach that point in our Christian life where we plateau, you know, as a Christian, where we've kind of, you know, we're in church. We come faithfully. We come Wednesday night church. We're reading about, we're doing what we need to be doing. And man, we've been a Christian for a long time. And we get so much confidence in our own strength that we look at these mountains that are in front of us and we're just kind of, you know, I got this guy. I can handle, you know, take a break for a little bit. Take a break. I can handle this. And we gain so much confidence in ourselves. And this is the moment where we destroy our life. This is the moment where we get off track. This is the moment where we get thrown off the mountain. Because Satan knows when we gain confidence in ourselves and when we lose faith in God. Thanks, guys. You can be seated. He knows. And that's the time when Satan's going to try to attack more than ever. When he sees, whoa, they're trusting themselves. All right. This is what I like to see. And he kind of sits on the sideline and just, he's ready. Now he's ready to pounce. He's ready to attack. And Satan may even let you take care of that little mountain to give you a little confidence in yourself. And you're growing as a Christian. You think you're growing, but you've put God on the sidelines. We don't read our Bible like we used to. We don't serve like we used to. We're not involved like we used to. And Satan and God are both seeing this. There's a battle going on in your life. There's a battle every single day of your life. Which one are you feeding the most to? Who are you helping out? Which one are you helping? Which one are you allowing to win? The Bible says, Deuteronomy 3:22, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nehemiah 4:20. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm thankful for that verse right there. He will never leave us. He just won't. I'm telling you that Caleb's strength never failed because his strength was in God and not in himself. Number three tonight, his remembrance of previous mountains never faded. His remembrance of previous mountains never faded. He did not forget what God did. You'll see in these scripture verses right here in verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Verse number 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war both to go out and to come in. He's reminding himself, man, God, what God did then, God can do now. My strength has not faded. It's not gone anywhere, all right? My confidence hasn't gone anywhere in God. I am ready. I have not forgotten, God. I remember all the things. I remember the Red Sea. Trust me, I haven't forgotten, God. God, I remember the manna from heaven. God, I remember the water from the rocks. I remember the walls of Jericho. I remember it, God. He reminded himself of what God did in the past. It's Thanksgiving time right now. It's time for us to thank God for what he did. But you know, it's pretty easy to remember God and to thank God when it's big things in our life. You know, someone buys you a brand new car. Man, are you going to forget that? Most likely not. Man, that was a huge blessing. Thank you, God. That was awesome. What we forget is all the small things that God's doing for us. We forget all those small things that God is continually blessing us with. And we look at others that are getting blessed, bigger blessings in our eyes. And we look at them, we start getting bitter and jealous. And we wonder, God, why are you not helping me? Why are you not here for me? Why are you doing that for them? God's not going to bless us until we see and are thankful for those small things that he's doing for us on a daily basis. My wife started something really good. We were just talking about today. For us, she started a blessing box where anytime someone did something good for us, small, big, didn't matter what it was, wrote us a little card, note, anything, we'd write it on there and we'd put it in a box. And every 6 months or so, we'd pull them out and go through all the things that God did for us through people and the blessings, the gifts, all the different things that God did for us. You'd be amazed, even in 2020, what God did for you. You would be amazed if you wrote it down. If you remembered it, if you went back to remember the things that God did for you, there's so many things that God does for us that we don't think to thank him for. We don't train ourselves to thank him for those things. We just don't. And we forget. I imagine that God's doing something right now in your life that you probably haven't even thought about thanking him for. You just think it's a part of life. I think that, man, if these kids that go to a Christian school, man, I think that's a blessing. If your kids are in the Christian school and you have the opportunity or you have the finance to be able to put your kids in the Christian school, you have a church that has a Christian school. A lot of churches don't have Christian schools. There's a lot of things we go through to be thankful for, to remember what God has done for us, mountains that he has conquered for us in our life. Lastly tonight, his God never forgot. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Look up here tonight. I guarantee you, all right, Caleb and those men that were following Joshua, maybe even Joshua himself, I guarantee you when they were going through the walls of Jericho, I don't know about you, but I'm human. And if I'm walking around the walls of Jericho, man, I really hope that God remembered that we were out here today. I hope he didn't forget that he told Joshua, today's the day. Because remember, people are up on top of those walls, just throwing things at him, throwing arrows at him, every type of weapon possible, swords and spears, everything, you know, coming at him, all these battles. And I guarantee you there was doubt setting in some of those people. I know God did that before. I know that was the, you know, last year he conquered that battle before, but man, I sure hope he didn't forget about it today. I sure hope he didn't forget about me. I guarantee there was doubt. And that's why they needed a leader like Joshua. But man, there was times where he probably doubted. There's times when leaders of God inside doubt. But God uses them to lead his people, to encourage them, to show them we serve a big God. We serve a God that doesn't matter what we go through in life, whatever mountain we face, he's going to take care of it. If, here's the key, we allow him to. If we allow him to, God will take care of those things for us. He will take, I heard this, a pastor tell a story about when he first started a church. He didn't get any type of support before he went. They had a little tiny bit of money just to put a down payment on a little apartment building and to get into a house. They were literally going there by faith and just saying, God, if you want us there, you're going to take care of us. And they, right away, they just ran out of money. They had no money. They were starting this church and they had nobody coming to the church, hardly at all. And they were literally eating top ramen for food and just cheese pizzas. Just they had nothing. Anything they could find for food, their family was just eating the cheapest possible food, and they were struggling. They were having a hard time, and the pastor says that him and his wife just constantly just say, hey, God's going to take care of us. Don't worry. We're going to be all right. And he kept telling his wife that. He said, there was times where I just doubted it. Like, do you really want us to be here, God? Or is this just a sign that you don't want us to be here? What is it, God? You know, I trust that you want us here. And he said, I just kept praying to God, but I kept encouraging my wife and telling her, hey, it's okay. God's going to take care of us. He'll find a way to take care of us. He was out souling one day, and he got an opportunity to lead this little white-haired old man to the Lord. Led him to the Lord, didn't know who he was, but just got an opportunity to lead him to the Lord. And that little man came to the church. He said he was just about this tall, super short guy.
came to the church and he told the pastor, he goes, I own one of the biggest restaurants in town. And he said, I just want you to know, I am thankful. I'm thankful for what you did for me. Because now I have a peace settled inside of me that I've never had before in my life. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. My whole life I've wondered, not knowing where I'm going to go. And he said, I owe you. He said, your family, every single day for the rest of your life, as long as I have a restaurant, will come down to my restaurant and you can have any food you want. Take it to your house, whatever you need. And do not tell me no, because I'm not letting you say no to me. He said, I want you to come to my restaurant and get food whenever you want. He about passed out. He went home to tell his wife, well, we got food for a lifetime, he said. And she's like, what? He tells the story about that. But I'm telling you, God will take care of us. Listen, some of you are facing a great mountain right now. God didn't promise smooth climbing, but he did promise that you're going to reach the other side. Some of you have lost your job or your marriage is going through a rough time. Some of you are facing business failures or business reversals because of the pandemic. Some of you are facing mountains of bills. Some of you are going through a time of family illness. Some of you have experienced unexpected tragedies like lightning hitting you from a clear blue sky. Where is God to allow things like this to happen to us in our life? Listen, it's not the end of the world. Your heart will heal. You will sing again. The sun will shine. God will show himself in your life. You may think, there is no answer for me. But God has 1,001 answers that you haven't even thought of yet. He's ready to reveal them to you, but he's just waiting. He's waiting to see if you have patience in him. Where do you go in life when these mountains are too big to conquer? What do you do when you're faced with these mountains that seem impossible to conquer? What do you do when you feel like you are going under? When chaos reigns and fear tries to throw you off the mountain, what do? You trust in the Almighty God. You trust in the God whom the winds and the waves obey. His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful that we have him as our God. God sent David a lion to whip and then a bear to whip before he sent him a giant. God is sending you and having you fight the fights that you're fighting now because it's to develop your confidence. And when you win this one, the next one will be a little bit bigger and you'll have the confidence because of your past victories. And when you win that one, you'll win the next one and the next one and the next one because God is transforming us into a champion of faith in him. God puts you through the struggles that you're going through to develop you into who you're going to be in the kingdom of God. God is working on his people. God is working. My dad has always said, God used no one in the Bible until he put them through the university of adversity before he used them as a leader in his work. He wants to use you. Maybe you've been used before, and now you're going through a struggle in your life. Maybe you're looking at the mountain and you don't want to fight it anymore. It's probably because you've been fighting yourself. You haven't allowed God to fight it. When you focus on the threat, you will experience fear. When you focus on Jesus, you will experience faith. You say, what are you saying, Brother H? I'm saying, be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Sing it with me now. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I hope you decide tonight you're going to trust God with your mountains. The cure to our faith, our cure to our fear is our faith. And our faith in God has to become stronger. Everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to win. But few will have the faith it takes to win. For now, how about we do the possible and allow God to do the impossible? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your courage, Lord. Thank you so much for your promises in the word, Lord. I pray that as Christians, Lord, that we would learn to keep depending upon you. Never gain confidence in ourselves, but gain the confidence in you, Lord. I pray that me personally, Lord, that I would get back to where I need to be, Lord. Get back to where I'm allowing you to conquer those mountains for me. And I pray that we'd use this time of thanksgiving, Lord, to remember what God's done for us. To remember all the things that he's allowed our family to go through, but allowed our family to also conquer. And the blessings that we've been blessed with, Lord, I pray that we'd use this time and not let it go to waste. not just have a time of fellowship and time of eating, Lord, but that we would remember to be thankful to you for the goodness of your grace. In Jesus' name.